we're not going to do one, so we can just go back.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the reconciling love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. And by his glorious resurrection, you delivered from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever. In the joy of the resurrection, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. So I have a question for you. We get Easter basket. Anybody get an Easter basket? Did you get an Easter basket? Well, everybody got an Easter basket. All right. And there's one thing that I always see in almost everybody's Easter basket. What do you think it is?
An egg.
An egg. Why in the world do we have eggs in our Easter baskets? What do you think, Chloe?
Because the Easter bunny came.
Because the Easter bunny came and brought eggs. I thought chickens laid eggs, not rabbits. Chickens laid eggs.
But a magical egg.
Oh, okay.
It's a new beginning.
Do you know there's three parts in an egg? What are the three parts of an egg?
The white and the yellow.
The white, the yellow, and the shell. Okay, the shell. And there's three parts of the Holy Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So it kind of can remind us of that because there's three parts to an egg and three parts. And we did say new beginning, don't we? We say new beginning.
Sometimes when you leave the egg, a chick comes out.
And a chick can come out of an egg. An egg is an egg that grows up, becomes a chicken. And he bumps into the wall because he can't see. That's funny. So there, and do you know what? Today is also April Fool's. And I saw somebody take the chocolate wrapper and put a grape into the wrapper and wrapped it back up again. How silly would that be when you think you're getting a chocolate egg and you open it up and it's a grape? That would not be as fun as chocolate. And it's April Fool's. It's April Fool's, yeah. So enjoy your Easter and listen to the sermon, because I have an April Fool's joke in the sermon, too. So you can go back to your spots.
A reading from Acts. Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, his Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Word of God, word of life.
Thank you.
reading from 1 Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I have proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of the first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of the God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and you have come to believe. Word of God, word of life.
Gospel according to Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look. There is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So it was early in the morning, and these three women were walking toward the tomb, bearing those precious ointments to wash the body of their Lord. They had come to comb out Jesus' hair, to wipe away the dried blood, to anoint his body, to rub in the myrrh, their last signs of compassion, doing the traditional washing before a body is sealed in a tomb. They had come to anoint their crucified Lord. And as they were walking, they were wondering, How are we going to get into that cave? That huge boulder is in front of the door. And while they were even speaking, they realized that the stone had been rolled away and the cave, the tomb, was empty. Well, empty, except for some young man who was definitely not Jesus. And suddenly, they were afraid. They were afraid. This was their last chance to show a little compassion for the broken body of Jesus. And that chance is now gone. They were afraid. They were witnessing the final insult. Jesus had been murdered. And now this. His body has been stolen. And most profoundly of all, they were afraid that death had won. That death had finally and completely won. So Easter morning starts with fear. A young man robed in white offers some surprising news to comfort these three women. You come here looking for Jesus who was crucified. April Fools, he's not here. You came looking for a dead person, but April Fools, he's alive. He is alive. This hopeful message that we all have been waiting for. The stone is rolled back. The tomb is empty. Not because someone has stolen the body, but because the power of God is greater than the power of death. This is joy and good news at its very best. So, why were these women afraid of this good news, of this wonderful news? The writer of the gospel tells us that after hearing this good news, the women fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And even though the angel told them to go and tell the disciples, they ran away and said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And that's the way Mark's gospel ends. He tells us that the women disciples, after hearing this good news and after being commissioned to go and share that good news, utterly fail, leaving in fear and saying nothing to anyone. Mark leaves us with that ending, and I think it's a pretty lousy ending. To end the gospel with saying they ran away in fear, and they said nothing to anyone. The end of the gospel. Well, the church, early church writers, or church scribes, didn't like the ending either. So they added about 10 more verses when they were copying the gospel. So we have lots of different endings of Mark's gospel. And it ends on a high note, literally, with the ascension. If you read one of those longer endings of Mark's gospel. They wanted to tidy it up, to have a nice, neat ending. They weren't happy with this ending of fear and silence. But consider this. Maybe Mark ended his gospel like that, in fear and in silence, on purpose. Imagine that Mark knew exactly what he was doing when he wrote these words and left the story hanging in failure and disappointment. Mark knew that no story of death and resurrection could have a nice and tidy ending. And maybe he knew that the story was not over yet. He wrote this open ending to his gospel in order to invite us to jump in and to take our part in the story. The story of what God is doing in and through Jesus isn't over at the empty tomb on that Easter morning. That's just the beginning. Easter resurrection isn't a conclusion. It's an invitation. Jesus' triumph over death and sin is just the beginning. And we are invited to live resurrection lives and to continue the story of God's redemption, God's action in the world. It's only the beginning. The story isn't over. It's only the beginning. And we are part of the action. It's only the beginning. If you wonder why there's so much pain and distress in the world, well, just remember that God isn't done yet. This is just the beginning. The good news is that we are invited into that story, sharing the good news that Jesus is with us. Jesus is with us in our suffering. Jesus is with us in his triumph over injustice. Jesus is with us in his victory over death. It's only the beginning. And through our prayer together this morning, through our sharing of the bread and the wine of Holy Communion, we are empowered and equipped to keep this story going. We're empowered and equipped to work for the good in all situations because we trust that God's promises that all will be well in time, that all will come to a good end, even when we can't see evidence of that. Even when we run away in fear, even when we keep silence and say nothing to anyone out of fear, like those women on that first Easter morning, God's promises are being fulfilled. God's promises are being fulfilled through you. This is only the beginning. The rest of the story, maybe the best of the story, is yet to come, unfolding in our lives. We can trust in that promise that because Jesus is resurrected, that our lives are resurrected lives as well. Alleluia. Christ is risen.